And that's it for Counterspin for this week. Counterspin is produced by FAIR, the National Media Watch Group based in New York. You can find out more information on our website, fair.org. The show is engineered by Alex Noyes. I'm Janine Jackson. Thanks for listening to Counterspin.
We need Brad. Where's Statman Brad?
SOS, dog.
Statman, hurry up and get here.
Drive safe.
Yeah, I mean, but be safe, here. But yeah. Like also get here because I'm tired of pushing buttons. Yes, indeed, ladies and gentlemen. Today is March 2nd, 2020. It's 5:30 p.m.
Gosh, we're terrible right now. We haven't done this in a while, just me and you.
Yeah, it's been a while. This is a throwback episode of sorts.
Throwback right now.
Actually kind of excited about it. But this is FM 90.1 KZFR Chico. We are listener-supported community radio for the Sacramento Valley, the foothills, and beyond. Talking about practice, Chico's only locally produced sports talk radio show on the way. The world's greatest sports talk radio show, according to my auntie Ariel, out in Texas.
Brad apparently said he's 10 minutes out. And he's only hit 3 people this far, so.
Okay, then we're good.
You're good. Yeah. Your over-under was 6, so, you know.
Yeah, no, I'm glad it's only
I had
3.
The under, so please, you know, 2 more, that's it.
Were they 5-pointers or 10-pointers? Any old people on the way? Because that's a 10-pointer. And children.
Old people are 10-pointers? I feel like that's like, you know, pushing someone that's already at the edge, you know?
That's fair. Okay, you know, children are 10-pointers.
Yes, yeah.
Old potential. People are 5, yes.
People that are potential.
Yes, okay.
That counts for those. Exactly. And rarity, too. Potential and rarity.
We're just joking, of course. I love my grandmother, and she's a little elderly. She's 89 years old. So
We appreciate you.
I'm just saying, if I had to run over a child or a grandparent, I would run over a child just to get those points.
Is that fair? Yes, for the points. If you valued life, you would take the one that has
already lived one. Yes. Yeah, but that's not my thing.
If you had to, like, you're put in that situation, no one, you know.
Right. Yes. It's not like I'm not encouraging murder.
No.
I'm just saying, if I'm trying to get the points, I'm going for the
baby.
Kids.
Yeah, exactly.
Talking about practice is made possible by the generous contributions of KZFR supporters and by Mountain Sports, providing outdoor clothing and equipment for hiking, cross-country skiing, camping, and just enjoying the great outdoors. Mountain Sports is located in downtown Chico at 176 East 3rd Street, and their telephone number is 345-5011. Talking about practice starts right now.
Not a game. We talking about practice. It's easy to sum it up. We just talk about practice. I mean, listen, we talking about practice. I mean, how silly is that, man? We talking about practice. We're talking about practice, man.
Yes, indeed, ladies and gentlemen.
That's what you get. I just want to let you know it's just me and Jero right now. As you get, you know.
There's
death right at the start of the program. We haven't even started and we've already been 5 minutes to talk about death.
Yeah, killing babies and old people. All right. It's chill.
Yeah, that's what you get.
I mean, not murder. We're talking about running them over.
Yeah.
So, manslaughter is what we're talking about today.
Fair enough.
That's how we start the show.
Fair enough.
In the natural place, it makes the most sense. I am Jarrell Gilbert. Alongside me, as always, my partner in crime for almost, what, 6 years now we've been doing this?
Has it been? Wow. Yeah.
It's, oh, yeah.
Yeah. Wow. That's something.
That's Derek Isamaki, ladies and gentlemen.
What's good, party people? It's the longest continued relationship I've had with anyone. Other than, like, immediate family members,
yeah,
but, you know,
no.
You're forced into those from birth.
We've been married for some time now.
Yeah.
You know, maybe we'll start here. So, because this might be interesting to someone, probably not most of the people, but Derek and I, you and I met in class, in Dick Stein's class. Shout out Dick Stein. I just went and got coffee with him the other day. And from day one, I basically hit on you. I came up to you after we did our introductions, like, hey, man, you kind of want to do the same thing I do. We should hang out.
Something, yeah, it's pretty much kind of like
pretty
that.
Much
yeah,
that. Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, let's face it, even when you're in college, the first few days of class are very much the same in any way situation. It's all a peacocking sensation. Yep. You're all kind of putting yourself out there.
Yep.
Fluffing them feathers, letting everyone know what you got. You're wearing your Sunday best on your first day of school.
No doubt.
You know? And, yeah, you kind of got to, you know, especially because this is as either my first semester. I think that was my second semester at Chico State.
Yeah, that's correct. Yep.
And I still was, you know, fresh into the world of Chico, not having that many friends. Yep. And, you know, you're always willing to accept some invitations. And it helped that, you know,
we want to do the same thing.
Yeah. We were both.
And we're both dope. Always,
yeah. Sports is a very, yeah, you know, it's a bridging gap for many things.
100%.
And, yeah, I think it launched on to this right now.
So. Yeah, I remember you said, you know, you would love to do something like Vin Scully and have that type of career, which obviously you're well on the way
yes.
to doing.
It's happening. The dream. Here in Chico.
But I remember thinking, like, man, aside from being a Dodgers fan, this guy seems cool. And ever since then, you know, over the years, we started podcasting out of your garage in my living room, and from there
your garage at one point,
my garage, and then Jake and Noobs, who used to do the show at this time, Say Hey, a classic show, great
shouts to the OGs,
shouts to the people,
the godfather
who gave us this opportunity and basically gifted us the show when he was done. And we started doing this thing, and we've been doing this for, what, 4 years now? Something like that. Yeah, 2015.
That's right, yeah.
Wow.
I mean, the year that they lost 3-1 to the Warriors.
When the Warriors were up 3-1 and ended up losing to the Cavs, we started the week after that, and we've been doing it ever since. So we want to thank you guys for your support, and obviously, a lot of stuff going on in the NBA. Derek's going to give us some updates on soccer with this foot and mouth segment. We'll give you the news. We'll get our foreign correspondent in.
Actually, we will not.
We will not have our foreign correspondent on.
She just hit me up and said she cannot. She is at the Lakers G League team game today.
Oh, rad.
In Salt Lake City.
Okay.
Obviously, I don't think they play there, but there is a G League squad that plays in Salt Lake, obviously, because there's a Salt Lake City team.
Makes sense.
And, okay. Yeah, it all comes full circle eventually when you work your way around it.
Well, I'm glad she's too busy for us. That's great. It's not like we need extra people today.
But she did give me some talking points, so I will be her foreign correspondent.
Oh, okay, perfect.
Yeah, I'm going to be the foreign correspondent.
Perfect. So we'll get into all that, but before we start there, I did want to start on something that you and I both find kind of absurd. So Deontay Wilder and Tyson Fury fought a week and a half, or not this past weekend, the weekend before. And
very topical, obviously, right now.
Yes. clearly. We have a show once a week, so we don't get to talk about these things when they happen necessarily. But if you miss the fight, to begin the fight, Deontay Wilder came out in a souped up, more or less glorified Black Panther costume. We'll go with costume. And this costume weighed 45 pounds.
It looked fit for the king from. He looked like, honestly, a Game of Thrones character.
He really did.
Like the what is the king's name? The White King, is that? No. The one that's the head
aren't
of the
walking. Kings?
The what?
Aren't they all white kings?
Well, I'm talking about the one who's heading the zombie pack.
The White Walker King. What was his name?
Yeah.
No.
Well, either way, that character, he looked like him.
Yes. But black.
Yes.
But black.
Yes. Take him as a black. That's what he looked like.
And he said he was doing it to honor Black History Month. I think Greg Cody from the Dan Le Batard Show had the greatest line about this when he said if he really wanted to honor Black History Month, he could have done it by knocking out the white guy.
That was beautiful. Oh,
it was probably the best line he's had on that show in the past 10 years. So if you haven't heard, basically – Deontay Wilder came out and said that 45-pound costume that no one made him wear was the reason he had no legs and ended up losing the fight. And you and I were both kind of laughing about this off air because what a ridiculous thing to say.
It puts him in a really big, a whole nother firing squad.
Mm-hmm.
Like, one, if you just take the loss as it is and just said, hey, man, he got me right then and there, it's like, all right, hey, man, at least, you know, you went in there. They're looking after your safety, bleeding from your ear. That's really serious.
Sure.
There's nothing to die over. There's no
right
sporting title worthy of, I think, anyone dying.
No, being the heavyweight champ is awesome. Also, not worth death.
Yes.
Yeah.
Whatever respects it. But then for you to just cover it up in this fashion and saying, oh, my legs are taken from me because I was wearing 45 pounds. And 45 pounds of that guy, that's like a 10 pounds to anyone else, I feel. Less than that, 5 pounds probably to anyone else walking around with it's like a heavy backpack.
Right.
You know, you might as well say, yeah, I walk around school with my backpack all day. My legs were dead to me after I got to practice. No, you still go through practice. That's not an excuse for your coaches. No. And for you to say, put yourself in that line, in that shooting, that firing squad and said, in front of it, said, no, it was this costume that I chose to wear is what did me in. And now I'm going to exercise my third fight clause
right
that I've got. So now we're destined for a Deontay Wilder, Tyson Fury number 3 match,
sure,
which no doubt, I think we'd all like to see it.
100%.
Because I think a lot of us, when you're witnessing that fight, realized he wasn't exactly the Deontay Wilder we all know.
Yes.
Granted, he has good technical boxer as Fury is. No.
Yeah.
But he's got something special in that right hand that very few have ever possessed, if anyone has.
Right.
And we never got a chance for that to really come out and play. So
correct,
I think we're willing to see this one again. But it's just like, it would have happened anyway, man. And just say, hey, man, I'd like another shot at him. You take your loss and just say, I want another shot at him. I'm going to exercise my... We still would have been fine with it. But no, for you to put yourself and said, oh, it's because I was wearing this costume. It's like, oh, gosh, man. Don't give me those excuses.
No, it's ridiculous.
I mean, granted, Tyson Fury did have the proper way of entering a ring by not walking in at all.
Yeah.
Let's get carried in, y'all. I think, take note, y'all, Wilder, don't walk in.
Also,
get carried in.
Those two heavyweights have the best names in the history of heavyweight fighters.
Especially, yeah, that matchup is, that name alone.
Wilder and Fury. Tyson Fury, Deontay Wilder. Just great names. I mean, we are, I think most of us, even casual boxing fans, are looking forward to seeing a rematch. But these excuses are not helping. He would have been better off saying anything. Oh, yeah, he caught me in the ear, knocked off my – he busted my eardrum, knocked off my equilibrium. Congrats to him, whatever. But to use an excuse of this costume that no one made me wear is why I was so tired – come on, man.
Question. If he wore that costume but got carried in, I wonder how that would have played out.
Maybe that's how he should do
it.
Yeah,
that's wear the costume. Make the other people worry about carrying the weight in.
I'm with that.
What's up, Brad?
How's it going, guys?
Hey, hello. He made it.
A little tired, but I'm here.
All right.
Did you run here from the bay?
I ran here from my parking spot to make sure I was somewhat not late.
Well,
not too late.
Okay, fair enough.
Sorry. By the way, the under was hit, so
okay,
you got the under that.
So you only killed two old people and one baby on the
yep,
ride.
That's about it. That's about it.
Excellent.
I did my best to make it here on time, but fortunately, some casualties. So you know.
Hey, well, you know, you're dedicated, if nothing else. So we appreciate that.
Yeah.
That voice, ladies and gentlemen, is Statman Brad, the one and only, our producer extraordinaire.
Yeah.
There we go. Thank you, sir. So over the next 2.5 months or so, it's really going to be the three of us. Jordan is going to join us via phone, but our man Jordan, congrats to him, moved up to Reading. His girlfriend got into nursing school. Congrats to Bria.
Good for her.
And so Jordan, being the great supportive boyfriend he is, went and moved to support her and help her out while she finishes nursing school. So we are sad that we won't have him each and every week, but we will. He's still part of the show. He'll still be around. John, speaking of school, is finishing up his last semester at Chico State, and unfortunately he had to take a mandatory class that coincides with the time that we start this show. So John will be here sparingly when class gets canceled. He doesn't have to go to a class or they have a holiday. He'll be in here. But for the most part, you're going to hear these three voices along with our foreign correspondent, Jordan, over the phone. But it's going to be mainly us for the next couple of months. So get used to it is what I'm trying to say. I want to get into basketball, but before we get into the NBA, Jeff Passan from Yahoo Sports came out this week and said that he would be absolutely stunned if Tom Brady ended up back with the New England Patriots.
Jeff Passan's reporting this?
I'm sorry. That's not his name. Jeff Passan does baseball.
He was going to say, that's impressive that he's reaching this far into a completely different sport.
I am totally...
The cojones on a man. You know?
But I mean, it's also Tom Brady, so... Yeah.
That is totally not the right guy. Now I don't have his name. Some reporter...
It's not a Woj bomb, is it? Because Woj does NBA. Woj,
yeah.
I'm pretty sure it's Tim Kurchin.
Thank you. Yes. Yeah.
Or was it Brian Windhorst? No. Someone close. Team sources. All right. We'll go with that. Someone that I don't have their name in front of me because it's been a long day.
A verified ESPN reporter of some nature out there, I'm sure, has said.
Or Yahoo Sports reporter, or Sports Illustrated, or Fox.
Someone that is not us has confirmed it.
Someone in the know came out and said that they would be shocked if Tom Brady re-signed with the Patriots. And we've talked about this briefly on the show, but I think this year is the most interesting year in the past couple decades, or at least since we've been talking about sports on air, for free agent quarterbacks this offseason. So we have Cam Newton going into free agency. We have Philip Rivers going into free agency. We also have Tom Brady going into free agency. And on a much lesser note, we have Ryan Tannehill, who obviously belongs with those Hall of Famers. Drew Brees just recently announced he's coming back for one more season. So with the Tom Brady, I don't want to say news because this is more of an opinion than anything else, but what do you think about that? Tom Brady potentially not coming back to the New England Patriots. Derek, do you think that's an actual real possibility? If you had to put a percentage on it, what would you say?
I mean, if you put me in that, I would say it's probable. I believe it is a very probable going to happen. It just feels like something in the water right now. You know, you sense it in the air. Mm-hmm. And I'm ready for a change to happen. And I think it's kind of exciting not to see the Patriots crumble, but to see how they're going to react when adversity finally hits mm-hmm. their shores, you know?
Yeah.
They haven't had much of a real issue as big as this one's going to cause in some time. So if it's going to happen, I'm willing to see how they're going to take it on, how mm-hmm. Belichick, being the coach that we all claim him to be, how he's going to respond in this type of situation and who he's going to take. Because that's really the big question is who's going to fill Brady's shoes. Right. Not honestly so much as where Brady's going to go, because where Brady's going to go, that team, they're going to be okay. I don't think he's going to be the savior for that team.
No.
He doesn't have much time left on him, even as great as Brady has been in the ladder of his career. Mm-hmm. He's on the way down. We can see that.
Sure.
He's got a couple years left, maybe mm-hmm. some knowledge to pass along to somebody. But I think it's going to be interesting to see who's going to go into that Patriots organization and how the Patriots are going to respond to losing, you know, their focal point.
No one wants to be the guy who replaces the guy. You want to be the guy who replaces the guy who replaced the guy, right?
That is true, yes.
No one wants to be the starting two guard for the Bulls after
No one knows who that is right now. You cannot tell.
No idea.
No idea.
No idea who that is. I have no idea who even took Kobe's role after Kobe retired, and that was only several years ago.
I can't even think about it.
Yeah, and you're a Lakers fan.
Would you say ball
to guard? Yeah, he was point. Oh, okay. So we're talking two guard, and I don't even know.
I think technically speaking, right now their two guard is Kentavious. No, it's not even Kentavious.
Well, no, like right after.
I can't even tell you who it is right now. Danny Green, I think.
It might be Danny Green.
Caruso?
LeBron plays our number one right now.
Yeah.
So it would be Caruso then, maybe, as a two guard.
No, he can left the bench, too. There is no one to replace.
But I'm saying he's a replace guy. Kobe.
No one replaced him.
The Lakers have only been playing with four players on the court ever since Kobe retired.
That's the only way they can honor this man right now. The only way.
If you really want to step it up and honor his memory, then play with only four people.
I want a hologram shooting down.
Yes, of Kobe. Yes.
And he doesn't pass one bit.
But he's a hell of a defender.
No, but I do find this interesting because for, 20 years now, the Patriots have been the model for consistency, not just in the NFL, but in all sports. No one has had a sustained run like the Patriots have. They've won their division every year except the year that Matt Castle took over for Tom Brady when Tom Brady tore his ACL in the first quarter of the first game of that season. They've won the division every year. And they're constantly in the playoffs. They're constantly in championship games. And so this was the first year in 10 years, I believe, that neither Tom Brady or Peyton Manning were in the championship game, in the AFC championship. And I just find this really interesting. If Tom Brady is going to make a move, where is his landing spot? People are talking about Las Vegas. People are talking about L.A. People are talking about Tennessee. And so all these things are interesting because you just figured Tom Brady being the man that he is and, you know, by all accounts, you know, arguable, but kind of difficult to argue with each passing year, 6 Super Bowl titles. He's been probably the greatest quarterback of all time.
It's a fair assumption.
At least the most winning.
You can throw his name into the ring and you can't.
You can't say he doesn't belong there.
No. Yeah, 100%.
You cannot say he does not belong there, yes.
Yeah. And so Brady and Belichick have been this duo that has just been, again, just a model of consistency in the NFL. And to think about them potentially not being together next year, and not due to Tom Brady retiring, but Tom Brady moving to another team, just really interesting.
I like that type of breakup more. It's much more fun to watch.
Yeah.
Forced breakup. I don't want to see them go off into the sunset holding hands. No, that's boring.
Agreed. And I do.
A little pepper and salt in there, you know?
You just think, though, Tom Brady, is he really going to end his career with the Patriots by throwing a pick 6 in Foxborough in the playoffs? That just seems odd. Doesn't seem like the storybook. Obviously not the storybook ending if that's how this all does end up coming to an end here, right?
It does. It's not, I'm sure, the way anyone wants to have it written out, but...
Right. It's not John Elway... you know,
this
riding off into
John
the sunset.
No, yeah. Actually, that was his first one he got, not his second one he got.
Yeah, but he won two Super Bowls back-to-back and then called it quits.
Boom.
And you see Tom Brady, the most decorated quarterback of all time, throwing a pick 6 against the Titans of all teams. That'd be an odd way for his career in Foxborough to end.
At the same time, though, dude's got 6.
He's got 6.
You know.
You can't take him back.
That's some, you know, that's some big Dick Cheney dick right there, you know.
Yeah.
Can't argue that one.
It is some big Dick Cheney stuff right there. You cannot argue that. Let's move on. Big Dick Cheney energy? I'm with that. Let's move on, shall we? Let's actually talk about the Lakers because we were just talking about them. LeBron is ridiculous. LeBron's 35. I know this isn't a hot take, so to speak. No one out there is like, wait, really? You think LeBron's really good? No, I think LeBron is insanely good. He just had his 13th triple-double of the season last night against the Pelicans. That is tied for the most in the NBA. In my opinion, he is the MVP this season. It's obviously, by most accounts, right, it would be between him and Giannis. And I just think because LeBron is 35, like, let's give it to him.
And at the same time, what he's doing, how he's always played a certain kind of point guard-ish role wherever he's been, I feel. He's always been a very ball-dominant three, essentially, if you can call him that. But he's always had a splash of Magic Johnson. This is, like, really the season I feel he's kind of taken on that role, where he legitimately is their point guard. He's the guy that starts their offense. He's the guy that brings the ball up the court the entire time. I mean, he's averaging a career high in assists right now. He's actually leading the league in assists at this point in time.
Yeah.
Which is insane. At this point in time in his career, and he's averaging, what, 25 a game as well?
Yeah.
25, 10, and I think he's like high 7 or low 8 right now in terms of his rebounds.
LeBron's only missed 3 games this season as well.
He's played a lot of minutes in those games, too.
Yeah, and
he's averaging 34.9 minutes per game.
All right. There's 48 minutes in the game.
And let us remind you, again, LeBron is 35 years old. This doesn't make any damn sense. He's averaging 25.5 points per game, 10.5 assists per game.
Most in the league, by the way.
Almost. Yeah, Derek just said that. Thanks for listening to the show.
Well, I was trying to, look stuff up, but no.
And almost 8 rebounds per game, 7.8 rebounds per game. He is on a tear this season. And you compare that to Giannis, 29, almost 30 points a game, 5.5 assists per game, 13, almost 14 rebounds per game. So I think those are your number one and two MVP candidates. I just think what LeBron's doing at this stage of his career is so damn impressive. I mean, those numbers are ridiculous for anyone, let alone a 35-year-old. That doesn't make sense to me.
Having a player by the name of Anthony Davis at your side helps out a lot.
For sure.
Definitely takes off the burden that LeBron's used to having to carry for any team he's played on.
Would you say that Anthony Davis is the best teammate LeBron has had?
I would say actively, because obviously people are going to say, what about Dwayne Wade and Chris Bosh?
Sure, sure, sure.
Well, I feel he went to them. Dwayne Wade has already experienced a lot of his NBA career by the time LeBron had come along. And when I say that, he's faced a lot of injuries. Now, Anthony Davis has had a lot of injuries too, but he is much younger than the Dwayne Wade was when LeBron went there. And definitely not as seasoned. And that was one thing with Wade. He
did not age great.
He did not, no.
He still, well, his game wasn't conducive to that, right?
I mean, he took a beating.
And he was always on the ground. That was that one commercial when he was signed by Converse, I want to say, where you fall down 7 times, you get up 8, that whole thing. That was his game. And so his game is slightly different than LeBron's, but still.
But no, I think as a physical specimen, Anthony Davis definitely is. As a person, as in terms of what their legacy was, Dwayne Wade would probably still be that person in terms of he's a legend,
For sure.
But Anthony Davis was their guy. He's, I think, what he's able to offer in terms of a counterpart to LeBron, I feel, is better than anyone else LeBron's ever had.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I think, I do find it interesting. Now, Anthony Davis, he's having a hell of a season himself. 26.5 points per game, 3.5 assists, almost 10 rebounds per game. So between the two of them, they're really balling out this year, which is why the Lakers are number one in the West. But I do think that's kind of interesting that LeBron played on that big three team in Miami. And the one thing I would say is it would be really interesting to see, now that the three ball is what it is in the NBA, how Chris Bosh's game would have adapted, because he started to stretch the floor a lot more his last two seasons before he had to retire due to blood clots. And he seems to be like the perfect player to do that, but we'll never to play in the modern NBA. But we'll never know. Right.
He was like a generation just too early, I feel.
Yes, yeah. If he just a couple years. Yeah.
If he was coming a few years later, he would have been primo.
Yep. If he came in and say 08, 09 as opposed to 03, yeah, I think he's a clear-cut Hall of Famer.
He would be a legend right now.
Regardless of blood clots or not, I mean, that boy could ball, and a lot of people gave him a lot of slack for scoring 0 points in a game seven. But I think out of everyone on that Miami Heat roster, Chris Bosh made the most sacrifices to his games, So we'll never know. But I do think that Anthony Davis is clearly LeBron's best.
What do you think of them retiring LeBron James' number over there?
I think it's.
I think people are too quick to retire numbers for organizations these days.
I agree. I think honoring him is one thing. Retiring his number, I guess I could see it because he is arguably the greatest player of all time. And we could say Jordan and all that. We could have that argument. I really don't want to. But he's easily top two, three players of all time. And at the end of the day, he did bring him two championships, which, let me remind everyone, kind of disappointing.
That's it, yeah.
It was kind of a disappointing run. Granted,
I mean, he started off with two when he started his countdown, you know? Two.
Not two, three, not three, four, not four. Yeah.
It was just only two.
And it was only two.
Flying.
We thought that was going to be a dynasty type team.
Yeah.
And
They went to four straight, lost two of them.
And LeBron went to what, eight or nine finals in a row?
Eight.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
I mean, that's nuts.
And it's possible he'll go to 9 of 10. So we'll see what happens this year. Let's move forward, though. We'll get back into the NBA in just a bit. Once again, you are listening to FM 90.1 KZFR Chico. We are listener-supported community radio for the Sacramento Valley, the Foothills, and beyond. Again, Jarrell Gilbert alongside me, Derek Isomaki, Statman Brad in the building. Before we get into the North State update and keep you up to date on everything happening here in the North State, we want to shout out some of our underwriters. Talking About Practice is made possible by the generous contributions of KZFR supporters and by Signs and Graphic Design, where your sign is your image. With over 25 years in the architectural sign industry, Signs and Graphic Design is dedicated to creating signage that works. More information at signsofchico.com or at 343-2543. Signs and Graphic Design is proud to support community radio. So thank you to Signs and Graphic Design. We appreciate the support. Also, thank you to Mountain Sports, who's been a longtime supporter of not only KZFR, but this show in particular. So we want to thank them.
Signs now, and Graphic Designs.
Time for your North State update.
He's got facts. He's got stats. And his name is Brad. It's time for Statman Brad's North State Update.
All right, a busy, busy weekend for Chico State Athletics. First, for men and women's basketball, they both had their last two games of the season, first against Humboldt State University. Women with a big win, 70-67 against Humboldt State. Men get the win as well, 86-57, very one-sided on that one. And next up, they played Stanislaus State. For the women, they went into overtime, close game throughout, and they won. 70-69 in overtime. And for the men, a big game, another 1-point victory, and they win 78-77. Now going into CCAA playoff contentions, the women will be playing against Cal State East Bay. They've lost to them both times, but both times they were in the lead and it was a back and forth game. The first game they lost in overtime 62-63. The next time, they lost 67-71. Men will be playing Stanislaus State, who they just beat by 1 point. It'll be hopefully another close game. Luckily, they'll be getting a home game, both men and women at home. So once again, Chico State women basketball will be playing tomorrow, March 3rd, against Cal State East Bay, game time at 5:30. Men will be at home at 7:30 or right after the women's game. So check that out at Acker Gym. Now, going to the field, softball dominating as usual. They are 16-1 overall, 11-1 in conference. After that one loss to Humboldt State,
yeah,
they've had seven games.
Girls are killing it right now.
Yeah, of those seven games, they've what's the term I'm looking for? They dominated for the most part. Two games have been shortened because of runs.
There you go.
Yeah. Wait, so
they got mercy rules.
Yeah. So in softball, it's seven innings, and after the fifth inning, if the team that's leading is up by eight, it's mercy rule at that point.
Mercy.
Yeah, mercy. Mercy. Have mercy, mercy Chico mercy State me. Softball team. They have had games. Three of them have been five innings. Or sorry, four of them have been five innings, and one has been a six-inning shortened game. It's been pretty bad for them. Opponents.
Really good.
No, sorry, yeah. For the opponents. Yeah. Next up, they'll be taking on San Francisco State. In my opinion, from what they've been doing, not a chance. I'm going to guess another sweep in San Francisco State. They're going to be at San Francisco. And for baseball, they played against Cal State East Bay as well. They won 3 of 4, losing the last game on Sunday, bringing their overall record to 12-6 and an 8-4 conference record. They'll be heading, they'll be actually staying here in Chico, playing against Cal State San Bernardino.
Not a chance.
For a four-game series. Friday, that game is at 6 p.m., a night game. Under the lights, and two on Saturday, one on Sunday.
Not a chance.
Thank you.
And going to prep basketball. Little interesting turnout. Both PV teams beat Chico in the semifinals of the North State. Not a chance for Chico. But one team did drop out for the girls. So Chico, even though they lost in the semifinals, they make it into the playoffs for state.
They've got a chance.
They have a chance. Unfortunately, they get the number 15 seed, which you kind of expected they were going to get 14, 15, or 16. They got 15. They're going to be playing against Argonaut. Don't know anything about them other than they're number two right now in
not a chance
in the North State. So I would say not a chance either. But Enterprise lost to PV in the finals. They get the number 10 spot, and they'll be playing against Cloverdale, number 7. So if Chico does have a chance, they might play Enterprise if two upsets happen down there, which
not a chance
is possible. It's possible. But PV, with the winning section, they get the number 5. They'll be hosting El Dorado. For the boys, they get a win in the section final, and they get the home game against Central Catholic. Unfortunately, PV's number 8, so if they win, they'll probably be playing number 1 Palo Alto. But Foothill, after the loss, they get the number 11 seed and playing Palma, number 6.
I just want to let you guys know, I had one of the nastiest dunks of my career at Pali. So shout out to Palo Alto and let me dunk all the way to Jacob.
Palo Alto, the high school up there, because Foothill's in Palo Alto. So, like...
Foothill College? It's in Los Altos, but yeah, whatever. Moving on.
Anyways, so.
Actually, let's go down this road a little bit more. I want to know, where exactly is Palo Alto? I want to know. Los Altos?
Oh, sorry. I am sorry. That one's on me. Palo Cedro is what I'm thinking for Foothill High School. Gosh, not Palo Alto. Palo Cedro.
Palo Alto is where Stanford University is.
Yep, I know. I just realized that.
You don't know.
I know. But I have a little.
Geography? God. I know. Pathetic.
I know. So I went out on Saturday night, and I'm done with my North State update, but I have a little fun fact I learned this weekend.
All right.
Went into Walnut Creek, went downtown area with my boys, and I dressed up a little bit different than I usually do. I took out the jeans, the cowboy hat, and...
Wait. You didn't have sand flip-flops?
No, I had my boots. I had everything going for me.
Oh, you cowboyed it.
Yeah. I cowboyed the crud out of it.
Yes.
And,
I'm into that.
Yeah. A lot of women paid attention. And if you're ever going out in the Bay Area, wear cowboy attire.
Not a chance.
And that's my North State update. All right, I'm done.
Thank you, sir. All right. So from updating you on what's going on in the North State to updating you about what's going on in the world, Derek's News.
When news breaks in the tri-state area or the world.
Breaking news. Derek Isamaki has breaking news.
Oh.
That is right, y'all. Time for the news. Now, this isn't quite so much news as so much as a remembrance of this date, so it's news to you if you don't know what happened on this date.
This day in history? Yeah.
58 years ago.
Oh.
On this day in history, the late, great Wilt the Stilt, the Big Dipper, Mr. Wilt Chamberlain, scored 100 points in one game. Now, I just want to read a couple of the stat lines for that game in particular because they're quite remarkable. The man, Wilt the Stilt, was 36 for 63, 28 from 32 from the free throw line, exactly 100 points. Now, that breaks it down into by quarter basis. He scored 23 in the first quarter, 18 in the second, 28 in the third, and 31 in the fourth. Now, the amazing part about it is that when he scored 100 points, he still had four other teammates score in double digits.
Whoa.
That is right. Four other teammates still in double digits with another one at 9 points. But the even more amazing fact is he played against the New York Knickerbockers in that game. And count them off, one, two, three. Three of those guys had over 30 points in that game.
Wow.
Wow.
Willie Naulis had 31, Richie Guerin, 39, and Al Butler, 30. I'm sorry, Cleveland Buckner, 33. They still couldn't beat him. Amazing day. Always remember that. Wilt was such a... my dad always talked highly of Wilt Chamberlain about his amazing... Like, Grant, dude averaged 50 rebounds in a season. Yeah. And 50 points. It's ridiculous. And we, you know, granted, different time. A lot of different height advantages he had at that time. But at the same, he still played the game and was quite an amazing specimen.
In that game, didn't he have like 25, 30 points off of free throws or something like that?
Yeah, 32 out of... 28 out of 32.
Jeez, yeah.
Yeah. Wasn't the best free throw shooter, but he was pretty good then. Only missed four. All right, so on to the good news. Well, the good news that I like to give to you. The stuff that, you know, tickles my feathers.
I don't think that's the saying, but okay.
It's not? Okay, I'm going to say it anyway.
I think it's tickle my fancy, but right, well, I like tickle my feathers even, you know, better.
Yeah.
No, I like that better. Let's stay with that.
Makes my balls tingle? Does that make you feel any better?
No. You are so close to getting us kicked off.
You're doing great, my friend.
Now, for those of you who go into hospitals that are always a little freaked out by them, you know, no matter when you walk into a hospital, they're all a little, you know, stuff happens there that you don't want to always participate in. And by that, I mean death. No one wants to participate in it. We are going to at some point in time, but we don't want to actively think about it, nor participate in it when we don't have to. Yet, when you're in a hospital, you're surrounded by it. Not just that, diseases. And when diseases... in weird late hours, you always get like a little weird creepy action going on. Now, there was a Florida hospital worker who is currently under investigation for apparently sucking on the toes of all elderly patients.
Ew.
The what?
Yeah. Yeah. France Belduran was hired as a sitter for some of the elderly patients in the hospital who were feared as flight risks. However, one of the patients said that she was woken up, felt like she was woken up multiple times with what she felt was a cooling sensation on her toe, and when felt her toe, felt it wet. And then actually one time waking up and seeing good old France sucking away.
Ew.
Yeah. Yeah. So he's currently being under arrest for elderly abuse right now.
Wow.
So, yeah.
So make sure your mouth is a little bit warmer next time, I guess.
Well, I would just say cover your toes, baby. All right, one more. This one's a good one, too. They all are. Caleb Wynwant was a inmate in a jail in Ogden, Utah. And he was released from jail by pretending to be Matthew Belknap.
What?
apparently, Caleb and Matthew had a little agreement that when Matthew Belknap was supposed to be released on Monday, February 24th, which is a really good day, I might add. If you're going to do anything on that day, you might as well do it on the 24th. I don't care what it is you're going to do. 24th, a good day to do things on, whether it be escaping from prison or not. I would suggest to do it on the 24th. And that's what Wind wanted. He shaved his head to perceive to be Matthew Belknap, took all his ID and belongings that Matthew Belknap would carry with him, and was released by authorities. Hmm. It wasn't until several hours later that they realized that they released the wrong guy. When Matthew Belknap went up to the prison guards and said, "Hey, I'm supposed to be released today, and you haven't released me yet." And they're like, "Wait a minute, we already released you." Well, you've been duped. And apparently, Kevin Wynwant is still at large. So, you know,
he
pulled a fast one.
I mean, that's the one way to get out.
Yeah, I'm into that, actually.
All you gotta do is shave your head. I mean, I've always found that if I have a beard and long enough hair, and I feel like I could commit a crime at that point in time in my life.
And then shave it.
Off,
shave it,
yeah. You know, and I'm a whole new person.
Well, you gotta make sure all of your pictures, though, of you shaved are gone, too. From social media.
I don't have many of them.
Yeah, I was gonna say, but it'll be easy.
No, it's true. Yeah, very true. It's a smart thing, and I like where your head's at. You've seen enough CSI in your life to know what's...
I've thought about this a few times.
Yeah. How to get
You're
away.
Not the only one.
I'm not saying what crime I'm going to do. I'm just
yeah, well,
saying.
I mean, that would be a bad idea because you don't want to give that away either.
Oh. If you could get away with any one crime, what would it be?
Ooh, murder for sure.
There's not anyone in my... I truly want to murder them.
Same.
No.
There's enough people in the world that annoy the hell out of me, but I don't wish death on you. Like, I might revel in one's death, but I'm not going to, like, wish it on
you. You never know until you meet that one person.
Exactly.
Like Brad has someone in mind.
So I don't want to commit that crime, you know? I feel like if I could get... It would be something that would obviously be to my own benefit. Like, maybe
robbing a bank.
Robbing a bank, fixing a sporting event or something.
Yeah,
like
I got you.
Early on.
Oh,
okay.
That'd be cool.
I think that would be something like, you know... Find a way to, like, find a really, like, low-stakes odds game in something or something, you know, and, like...
And then bet a lot on it.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, I'm with that.
Okay. That's what you're saying.
And get away with it? Because that's pretty much, like, the foolproof way, because you're legally stealing that money right there, essentially.
True. All
right.
So yeah, no, I'm good with that.
Yeah, okay.
All right, so you'd fix a game, I would rob a bank, and Brad would murder someone.
Well, just whoever hurts my sister, you know?
All right.
Yeah. I love it.
Protection.
Don't change. Except when it comes to that point in time, don't let it
Don't know. I won't do it. But, you know, if I could, though, I would.
Yeah, don't call me to help bury the body because
Oh, no, I already have a plan. We're good. You don't have to be a part of that.
Well, it's taking a weird turn. I'm going to keep it moving.
I'm sorry. We talked about murdering old people and babies in the beginning
of
the show.
Yeah, we didn't have plans what we're going to do.
We talked about you murdering old people and babies. Yeah.
And apparently it's
coming I have a lot
soon.
Of murder like this show, apparently, guys. I'm not going to do it, but moving on.
You know what I do to if I do it, man. I just
have a plan.
And I might write a book about it because I didn't do it, though.
I'm totally joking, though. Put some shackles on the back.
Totally kidding, guys. Totally kidding. All right, so moving on. So you put in the rundown, for those of you who don't know, Brad creates a rundown week in and week out, and then we add to it or
ridicule,
take away from it,
you know.
Ridicule it, yell at him, make him cry. And you put the Olympics are to be canceled due to the coronavirus.
Possibly going to be canceled. It's being considered. If it's not contained by May, they're going to be forced to cancel it.
How big of a deal do you all think this is?
Well, the only time that Olympics has been canceled is due to war. So it's a war-level event at this point, if it gets canceled.
Okay, they didn't answer my question, though.
How big is the virus, or is it? I mean, if you... it's an odd one, because it's like it's a beer virus, basically. I mean, that's the sound of it.
A beer virus?
I'm glad he enjoyed that joke. It was Corona. I feel the collective
I'm glad I didn't get that initially.
Yeah.
I was like...
I feel the collective sighs all over the radio station right now and our listeners.
This is not
so you're
a joking
welcome.
Matter, Brad. I'm trying to be serious right now.
But, I mean, it's scary because a lot of people don't take it seriously. So I'm one of those people, but at the same time,
that there's like legitimately 38% of Americans won't drink Corona because of this,
which is dumb. But we also had our first confirmed death from coronavirus.
We've had six people die
in America,
in the U.S. Six. Yep.
Really, I only heard about the one in Washington.
Same
I'm sorry. I understand this is a big deal, but if only six people have died in this country due to that, then I'm really not stressing.
Yeah, most of the people have been in Asia, and I think a few in Middle East.
I mean, it's terrifying. Don't get me wrong. This is a scary thing, but I mean,
I'm not concerned about it.
The total number of deaths.
It's slightly over 3,000 worldwide.
Yeah, and I was going to say, I'm pretty sure that I saw it. Maybe it was just before that happened, but there was a stat that was like the number of homicides that have happened in Mexico so far this year, like in the 3,000 range. So it's like people die all the time. Like, don't get it wrong. Yeah. Like, every single day, it's thousands something upon thousands of people lose their lives. We also have thousands upon thousands of lives starting.
Yeah.
Which is actually on a decline. So that's something we should actually be.
It's definitely something we should look at, but nothing we should be super scared about and have freak out about.
Procreate.
Also, has nothing to do with anything, but since we're talking about population, last year was the first time in California history that more people had left the state than came to it.
Thank God.
Good.
And good riddance, all of you.
Like I said, man, that's a
I'm so tired of traffic, all right? This is the greatest state in the union. I don't care what anyone says. And, yes, I'm talking to you, Texas, because no one has more pride about a state than Texans. And I love Texas. I lived there. My mom lived there. I have family that currently lives there. I love Texas. My time in Austin was amazing. The weather sucks. Food's great. The weather sucks, okay? When I moved there during the hottest summer in recorded history, 100 straight days of 100 degrees or more. Miserable. Cool.
You know what Texas has? Chick-fil-A all over the place.
That is very true. And Whataburger. And I'm down with that.
Chick-fil-A is not here in Chico. Where I got to go an hour and a half to Sacramento to get my Chick-fil-A?
I'm still petitioning to get us here.
What is wrong with you, y'all? Come on. Bring it up here.
Yeah.
You have a market. You have a big market around here.
Well, probably a bigger one would be in Reading, I feel. But
between Derek and I mean, they would have business 6 days a week.
We have so many people from like the Southern California and Bay Area coming to Chico State. You'd have a lot of people coming in.
I'm just saying, if they do create a Chick-fil-A up here, which they should, I feel that...
Right across the street from the station?
Joe and I should have a permanent space there no matter
100%.
What. 100%. And a cutsees at any point in time.
Yep. Like,
we should be able to have cutsees and a parking spot.
We're not even asking for part ownership.
Can we just mark down the whole KZFR crew gets that?
Whoever comes
I'd be
in
down.
With us, we will not abuse that power. We only bring one person each. So, yes, the KZFR can come with us because we have a booth.
Minus one, technically.
We should get a booth and cutsees at any point in time.
So we can kick anybody out of a booth?
Yes.
Oh, I'm so
down.
Well,
no, they can't sit there, period.
So that's our booth?
As they see us walk in, they better, scarf it down or find a new place to sit and clear our booth.
Therefore, we can kick somebody out of a booth.
Yeah.
I'm excited for this. You know what? KZFR or Chick-fil-A, come on down. Or come on up. Whichever one.
Severe lack of Chick-fil-A's in the Bay Area as well. They're there.
They're scarce.
I tried to go to one in San Francisco, and I couldn't find it, and it was really frustrating.
The lack of Cracker Barrels as well is a little disheartening, too.
I have never been to a Cracker Barrel.
I've been to it twice, and wasn't too excited about it when I was a kid.
I've driven across the country multiple times, and never have I been to a Cracker Barrel. And there's about 4 million of them in Texas. So.
It's literally Chick-fil-A Cracker Barrel. Like, that's usually how they alternate.
That's true.
Yeah.
You're
not far off.
Disappointing. Okay. So... Olympics might be canceled because 3,000 people have died, right?
Basically, yeah.
Cool. All right.
Sounds like a day in L.A. in traffic.
Right.
Jeez.
Did any of you check out the NFL Combine this weekend?
I saw some of those 40s on the highlights. There's some, some fast dudes out there.
That big boy that was 374 and ran a 5.1 40.
That's
terrifying.
Yeah, that's impressive. Yeah.
I'm so cool. Imagine trying to steal from that guy. I'm good.
Is Chase still a nerd about the combine?
I don't know. I'll text Cuzzo Chase and
see if he's got any.
Yeah.
I will see if he can in the time frame. Can he give us a name or two to look out for?
All right, let me see what I could do. I wouldn't be surprised.
You mean outside of the big names, for sure.
I mean, I can't even tell you names at this combine to begin with right now. So.
Yeah, same.
Other than Jerry Judy, and he's got a Star of David chain on him, which I thought was hilarious as his answer as to why. There are also a couple of other great answers. One lineman was asked why he likes playing the game, and he's like, because I can hit a dude in this game, and the police don't get called.
One guy was asked if he could change anything about your body, what would you change? And he said he would change his unit.
Penis size.
His unit of
sorts.
Just
say it. His penis.
His Dick Cheney of sorts.
Okay. Interesting.
Make it bigger.
Make it bigger, for sure. I don't know if he's joking or not, but...
All right, moving on.
I don't think any guy's ever...
From football to football.
And now, it's time we take a deep dive into the world of soccer with the man responsible for such flashes of brilliance as...
39 was last year, and he could barely, throw a ball out at a barnside.
It's time for Derek Izumaki's Foot in Mouth.
That's right, y'all. Time for a little football.
El Clasico!
Was this weekend? Real Madrid versus Barcelona. The greatest club matchup you'll ever see anywhere across the planet happened on Sunday. This past Sunday, yesterday, for those of you who are keeping track. Barcelona walked into the Santiago Bernabeu with a chance to take a gripping hold on La Liga standings and secure their places, the number ones up there. Separation is what they need. However, it wasn't meant to be. Real Madrid came out top, 2-0, securing all 3 points and launching them to the top of the league table with a 1-point advantage over Barcelona right now.
Not a chance.
A critical time in the title race right now. El Clasico always brings out the best. So wonderful to see. We'll say the El Clasico was so much better when Ronaldo was a part of it. Seeing Real Madrid led by Cristiano Ronaldo and Barcelona led by Leo Messi, the two greatest footballers on the planet right now, seeing them go head-to-head is always a pleasure. We don't get that anymore, but still, seeing those two uniforms go at it, makes my Johnson feel bigger.
I gotta say, that's probably one of the best matchups of all sports.
All sports.
There's nothing that beats it.
The next closest thing I honestly feel, Yankees-Red Sox.
Yes.
They don't even come close to it, though.
But no, exactly. It's the best matchup.
Not. But as in terms of a classic, as a rivalry right there,
it's the best.
Barcelona, Real Madrid. Mm-hmm. Oh, gosh. It's just a classic look. Those two... The striking differences between their uniforms when they're clashed up against the other, the colorful brightness of Barcelona, the stoic whites of Real Madrid, especially when they're in either one of those stadiums and you see those colors contrast each other. Oh, it's beautiful. That's a sight that anyone who's a fan of any sport can get behind. Now, the Champions League took place this past week as well. We saw some fantastic matchups going on as Man City went into Real Madrid earlier that week and took down the champions. Real Madrid suffered a defeat against Man City, who is desperate right now. As I mentioned last week, they're facing that 2-year ban from Champions League play. UEFA is not happy with them. They were also fined some 30+ million euros. Imagine that one of our teams, I mean, the Houston Astros got caught cheating and then got fined $5 million. Wow, pathetic. Well, I got to give a shout out to my sister Erin. I'm going to divulge from the world of football because I have to give... our foreign correspondent is not able to be with us today, so I'm going to be the foreign correspondent in taking her place. This past weekend, actually yesterday, was the Olympic Trial Marathon. And we happen to know one of the guys that was running in there. My cousin's husband has been a marathoner and quite a good marathoner for the past few years now and had qualified for the Olympic trials this year and was down in Atlanta, Georgia this past weekend, and he ran his heart out. Didn't quite make the cut, but however, I got to give a shout out to Tyler Underwood for putting up an amazing performance, but also to the women out there, Alfina Tuliamuk winning it with a 2:27:23. 2 hours, 27 minutes to run 26 miles.
Dang.
That is ridiculous.
That is moving,
that is ridiculous.
Bro.
I don't get how they do it. And then shout over to the men, Galen Rupp running to 209.20. Oh, my goodness. That is just unheard of. I mean, it's ridiculous what these athletes are able to do. 26 miles running straight up, averaging under a 5 minute mile, might I add you. Now I have to be a track runner back in the day. My fastest I ever did was a 4.